Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. David Gascon in for Mike tonight.
Did you create that open?
I did not create that open.
Don't lie.
No, I didn't. Listen, it was too easy of a fastball down the middle to go Gascon, Gaston. I mean, like, the first time I met you, I'm like, oh, like Gaston. But then it's like, okay, now everybody does that joke.
That's good.
So it's kind of hard.
It is. I mean, you're a family man. You got kids. So the whole Disney thing going on there, I figured it was Jason Smith leading the charge.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. Hey, no joke. You realize you are a parent. All right? You realize you're a parent. Take cheap shots like Gaston. You realize you are a parent when at the end of Beauty and the Beast, and remember how Beauty and the Beast ends, you know, Gaston falls off the tower there, and your kid says to you, Dad, what happened to Gaston? And you go, not ready for this conversation right now. He fell into the clouds and disappeared. But Dad, what happened to Gaston? Dad, what happened to Gaston? He fell, and that's why you gotta be careful you don't fall and keep your balance. And I wasn't ready for the Gaston just fell. Okay, look. You got the candelabra is singing again. Let's look at that part of it. That's you realize you're a parent. I gotta start answering questions like this.
Now, to be fair, though,
I can't just pass on those.
To be fair for our national audience, you must disclose too, because right after that happened, you immediately put on the closing scenes of Die Hard with Hans being dropped from Nakatomi Plaza. So you transitioned nicely. I know that. So you went from one thing to the other with your kids. So
listen, my daughter's watching Midnight Run for like the 12th time right now, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Because Midnight Run is one of the best movies ever. She loves Midnight Run. We run Midnight Run lines all the time now. I'll tell you what, probably one of the three funniest movies I've ever seen in my life, Midnight Run. I can't tell you. And look, she's old enough for the language now. Obviously, that's the big thing is the language. And now that she's old enough for it, and still when she runs line, she doesn't say the curse words, which is very nice. I don't know how long that's going to last, but she still runs that. I said to her the other day, I said, "Hey, I'm going to talk to you about something when you get a second." And she says, "What is it?" And I started telling her something. And she goes, "Dad, I got two words for you." And I said, "Oh yeah."
You just hope she's not watching the WWE, right?
Oh, man.
Little DMX.
I'll tell you. Oh, hey, listen, about DMX real fast.
Oh, nice transition.
There were reports earlier tonight that DMX had died. DMX, who, of course, has been in a vegetative type state since potentially having a heart attack, which potentially was due to a drug overdose. There were reports that he had died, and I watched RIP DMX trend. Then I watched DMX trend. Then I see trending at the top of Twitter right now is DMX is not dead, as his manager says he is still alive and on life support. And apparently everybody is waiting for TMZ to have the official report on this. But right now, DMX, according to his manager, is alive and on life support. And that, you know, it's just been difficult to watch the past, you know, half hour saying DMX. And there's people with, you know, with hundreds of thousands of followers with RIP DMX and everything else. And look, it gets like this sometimes when someone is hovering between life and death. Look, we had the Tanya Roberts story, a couple months ago where the husband said she died and she wasn't. And, you know, because he thought she died, like he left the hospital and they said he thought she was going to die and he left. And then he found out, no, she's still alive. And then she died. It was like, oh, my goodness, how does this happen? But this is how it happens.
I feel a little guilty with the Clippers and Suns on right now. Another TV actually fell on Romeo Must Die with DMX in that and Jet Li and Aaliyah. Old school movie. I don't know what that. Yeah. Exit Wounds. Some old school movies. I know you didn't watch any of those, but
wow, Exit Wounds. I don't know the last time I saw Exit Wounds.
Steven Seagal.
That's like a 20-year-old movie, Exit Wounds, now, isn't it?
Are we that old?
I think. Well, that was DMX, you know, when he first came out with yes. up in here, yeah. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. I'll never forget after the Lakers won their championship in 2000, the first time with Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
They were just dancing and yelling that in the locker room. After they all got their hands in, you know, in a big celebratory huddle. There going up in here, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Ah, I love that song.
Yeah,
that was when he came out. And he did that movie with Steven Seagal.
Yeah, Exit Wounds 2001. Tom Arnold was in that too, if you recall.
Come on. I mean, really, you could tell me Tom Arnold's in it. Oh, Tom Arnold's in it. Oh, that doesn't really help a movie when you say Arnold is in it.
True Lies was a fantastic movie, so I have to defend it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, True Lies was fun, despite the fact it had, Tom Arnold's not great. Bill Paxton wasn't really great either, but he was good.
A great wingman.
He was good. Yeah, he was good and annoying in that. Like, he meant to be annoying, you know, Bill Paxton. But I like True Lies. I wasn't the fan of it like I was of his earlier ones, like Commando and Predator and Running Man. I mean, that was Schwarzenegger's heyday. That was where he could do no wrong, man. It's like, what are we doing? Well, I'm in the jungle with a bunch of Navy commandos. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, there's something hunting us. Great. I'm going to see it opening night. I'm going to go see it. That's what I'm going to go do. I mean, that was when he was at the – anything Arnold did, I would go see. Yeah. Anything he did, I would go see.
Yeah. Red Heat was another good one back in the day. I'm sorry I took you down this, like – rabbit hole of Exit
Jim Belushi, Red Heat, Jim Belushi.
Listen, Chicago's finest, baby. What do you want from me right now?
Wow, look at Jim Belushi. You got a Jim Belushi reference.
It's a guilty pleasure of mine, but I do buy certain things on Apple iTunes for movies when I travel.
Okay.
And Red Heat is one of them. I have The Hunt for Red October, GoldenEye, and Red Heat. And I just admitted that on radio. Yeah.
No, Hunt for Red October is a great movie.
It is. It's timeless.
Oh, yeah. You idiot.
Yeah.
You've killed us.
Marco Ramius.
Sorry, spoiler alert on that. Sorry.
Did he die too? Did he fall into the clouds?
No. Dad, what happened to Gaston? All right. Okay, let's sit down and have a conversation, okay? You know, we're going to talk about the circle of life here. Okay, remember, Gaston's a bad guy, right? Remember, Gaston is a bad guy. And it's a Disney movie. And so, you know, in the beginning of Disney movies, parents die all the time, which I'm like, why did they do that? Why do they have to do that beginning of Disney movies? Let's make sure the parents are dead. Why? Why are these kids? They're watching a movie. Why are you talking to the parents are dead all the time? Hey, this story involving Trevor Bauer is gaining more and more traction over the course of the past couple of hours. Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports and Athletic Baseball Insider, filed a report earlier tonight in which it's now known that Major League Baseball are looking into baseballs that were sent to them following Trevor Bauer's first start with the Dodgers on Thursday. Umpires collected multiple balls he threw during the game. They had visible markings and were sticky, according to sources. Now, these are things they don't want the baseball to be, markings and sticky, because that's cheating. Now, it's not known what the outcome of this is going to be, but Trevor Bauer is already waiting on Twitter saying, where's the confirmation on this, and where are the sources on this story? I don't know if Trevor Bauer is just trying to push the narrative a different direction, but this kind of is a legitimate story. Ken Rosenthal is one of the most respected baseball insiders there is, and he's saying this is what's going on. Now, you could argue the veracity of this, and do we need to do this when all these other baseball players seen their spin rate increase? Are they all throwing sticky balls with markings on them? I mean, that's what we don't know. But this is clearly a report that needs to be taken care of. And this is something that is going on right now. Bauer's tweet about this in response to Ken Rosenthal. Always fun reading desperate and misleading clickbait headlines from national gossip bloggers. Not quite what Ken Rosenthal is, but I get it. To translate fake journalist speak for y'all, it's unclear whether equals I can't be bothered to look into this because it doesn't fit my narrative. That's not quite what it's unclear whether. And what he means is that it's unclear whether or not Trevor Bauer doctored these baseballs or how they got this way. But that's what this is. Now, this is not about not checking it out. This is Trevor Bauer trying to push the narrative away from, hey, I'm getting caught cheating with these baseballs. This is the report now. They're checking into these baseballs, and I don't know that they can even prove if Bauer doctored them. Right? I mean, that's the whole thing. You can sit here and say, well, he's the pitcher. They got markings on him. They're sticky. He probably doctored them. But if there's no proof he doctored them, what can you do? And MLBPA, you know, was going to fight that. If they say, well, we're going to suspend Trevor Bauer for what? Was he caught doing it? No, he wasn't. You just have baseballs that you found from the start, and you kind of more need a smoking gun in this situation if you're going to suspend Trevor Bauer. Bauer was able to tweet out right after that that balls from every other pitcher being taken out of play and literally every other game in this season are. So he says, hey, where's everybody else getting their balls taken out of play? I'm sorry you're the one guy that got pulled over for speeding with everybody else speeding on the freeway. But this is a legitimate story. And I watched Trevor Bauer's reaction. I go, wow, he is really quick to respond to this right away. It makes you think, why is he doing this? Why is he, if it's not that big a deal, lay low and we see what happens. But he always wants to be on social media, and he always wants to get out there and be out in front of things and be someone leading conversations on it. But I look at this as he's now trying to misdirect everybody from where this conversation is. And this is Major League Baseball has baseballs from the game where he pitched that were sticky in markings. And he wants that conversation to be as far away from, hey, I'm doctoring baseballs as there possibly can be. So that's what he's trying to do right now with this and what he's doing on social media.
Jason, I got a problem with this in the sense that, you know, if you're going to go to a steakhouse, you're going to order a steak, but you're also going to order some sides, maybe some whiskey, maybe some wine. Like, you want a complete meal. Right.
You say you want a side of whiskey when you order a steak?
Probably. A little.
What'd you like
top.
On the side? Of potatoes au gratin? But no, whiskey.
A little something with that.
Just pour the whiskey on. You know what? Just give me the steak. Pour the whiskey over the top of it. Whatever's left over in the glass, just put it in there.
A little complimentary piece, right?
Sure.
But if you're going to go somewhere and you're going to order a full course meal, you know, whatever it may be, you want to have all the ingredients and all the sides that complement that piece, right? And I think it's something like this with Ken Rosenthal, who you admitted is a world-renowned Major League Baseball outlet and resource reporting all that he does do, is that this story is wanting more information. I think Trevor Bauer's fair in the stance that he takes that, I mean, Rosenthal acknowledges it in the article. If people take the time to go on The Athletic and read it, he acknowledges the fact that you have independent individuals that are monitoring these baseballs and taking it to the league's office for inspection. But the problem I have with it is that if this is going around Major League Baseball, which Rosenthal admits to have happened, then there's got to be other names, and there's got to be at least comparable names to Trevor Bauer that are on this list. They don't have to be starters. They can be middle relievers, and they can be closers. But to single out one dude who has actually been vocal on social media, and just because he's getting a monster payday, that to me is the alarming part, because he specifically states that. He says he's making $40 million here in 2021. Like, what relevance does that have unless you're making him the subject of this entire conversation about doctoring baseballs? If you're making the case of that, then that's why he supported his information with, hey, his spin rate in 2019 was accelerated, or 2020 was accelerated. He didn't mention anything about swings and misses, but he mentioned the way that he was throwing the baseball. That's my problem, is he's not being singled out, but he's put on a pedestal when there should be other guys with him as well. That's my part. This story feels really incomplete for me, and I have a reason why Trevor Bauer is going to his defense on social media, because, I mean, you know this day and age, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, you're guilty first and then found innocent, not the other way around.
Well, look, this is why this is legit. You say you want more information.
Yes.
I'm sure if there was more information, it would be available. But the bottom line is, baseball is investigating baseballs from Trevor Bauer's start. I'm sorry that he's the only one that had the baseballs be investigated, but this is the story right now. Are there other players? Sure, there's going to wind up being other players, but right now it's Trevor Bauer. I can't feel bad for a guy just because, oh, you caught me, but what about all these other players? That doesn't wash. Like I said, it's the guy that gets caught for speeding going, these people are doing 90 miles an hour, but you pulled me over. Yeah, because I got you doing 86. So I can't feel bad for Trevor Bauer, because this is a legitimate story. The reason it hasn't been pushed forward more is because, quite honestly, Ken Rosenthal, they're being responsible by not reporting anything before something becomes official. Being irresponsible would say, hey, Trevor Bauer is going to get charged with doctoring baseballs. Whoa, is he? Wait, but is he? Well, no. Right now, they're just looking at the baseballs. Okay, so they're dealing with the facts. When insiders have stuff, they deal with the facts of what's going on. And these are the facts as they know them. This is a legitimate story. Now, for your part about being a star, yeah, that's kind of how it works. Stars get all the attention. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. Trevor Bauer and his outspoken personality and contract, mean more than if it was, you know, a middle reliever with the Blue Jays who gets caught. I mean, we wouldn't spend 2 seconds talking about it because it's someone that nobody knows and nobody cares about. But when it's a superstar doing it, yeah, that pushes it. It's why it's why people go to the movies to see Tom Cruise, and they don't go to the movies to see Tom Cruise's cousin when he's in a movie, although he's been in some pretty good movies. But, you know, that's why when you're a star, we care about it more. It makes more news. That's just the way it goes. Other names will come out, I am sure, if they're looking at them. And they'll be made public. And what's going to happen when we talk about this story? We're going to talk about the big names. And Trevor Bauer is the biggest name that's going on in this. This is what happens when you sign for 3 years and $100 million and you go to the Dodgers and you're very outspoken on social media. You become someone that is very, very visible. And, you know, for me, that's the thing that stands out is that he's been able to, for the past few years, be able to be himself and shoot from the hip and have fun because he's been under the radar, man. When you play with the Indians and the Reds, even if you win a Cy Young, you're under the radar. You know, but now you sign this contract, you're with the Dodgers, everything you do gets put under much more of a microscope, and everything that happens is a big deal, and this is a really big deal. If he was pitching for the Reds right now, it would be somewhat of a story. Boy, look at Trevor Bauer. But it's the Dodgers, and he goes out of his way to be a personality and to say, look at me. When that happens, yeah, there's more attention on you. I wonder if he can handle this because he's one of those, I'm always going to be me. I'm going to say what I want to on social media, do all these things. Are you ready for the attention that this is going to bring to you, that you're going to get on a regular basis? I don't think he is. I don't think he's ready for exactly what this means. If I can go and play for the Dodgers, sign for all this money, and be the same guy. I don't know you can do that. And he's learning that lesson right now. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Dave at David J. Gascon on Twitter. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dave in for Harmon tonight. Hey, if you're dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. We'll have more on this story as it develops, but coming up next, all the latest from the NBA. Chris Paul, the MVP, I told you might have been last night. We'll see if he is tonight. Are the Lakers still looking good? Are they in trouble? Are the Suns the best team in the West? Everything you need NBA-wise is next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dave Gascon in for Harmon tonight. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, a big night in the NBA tonight. Marquee game of the night, Phoenix and the Clippers. It is the Clippers on top of the Suns, 95-89. Still a lot of time left in this one, though, about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, getting down to the end of it, Utah blowing out the Blazers 117-101. With us now on the hotline, longtime friend of the show, who had exactly 13 hours off from the end of last year's NBA season to the beginning of this one, NBA insider for the LA Times, latimes.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. It is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's happening, bud?
Jason, it was 14 hours, and the reason why I know that is because my wife made me paint the bedroom and it took me 12.
Oh, okay.
So I've got a pretty good accounting of it.
Okay. She say, hey, you got time for another coat? You got time? Come on, let's put another coat on there. You can do one more.
She's like, I said cobalt, not blue. And I said, honey.
Oh, boy.
Seascape gray. And cloudy morning blue. And it's just like, oh my God, just pick one.
This is bone china or eggshell white. Is there a difference between? I kind of like the eggshell white a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, it's just like slightly dirty white. It's white if it's like a little wear and tear to it.
All right. So, hey, so speaking of wear and tear, we watched the Lakers tonight lose to the Heat. And look, you had another game in which Andre Drummond comes back and he's okay. You didn't get Marc Gasol playing at all. And the Lakers showing that, well, they can beat the really bad teams, teams that are okay and decent, they're having trouble with. If I said to you, the Lakers finishing sixth is what they should aspire to in the Western Conference this year, what would you say?
Sure. Why not? I would say, honestly, right? Like, it's sort of, I mean, it is so bizarre, and it's very challenging to cover a team that has, like, just such an undeniable truth to it. And you know, I've said it on this show, I've said it on others, I will keep saying it because I have no other ideas. You know, this is a team that knows that if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both healthy, that they will have a reasonably good shot at winning an NBA title, right? Like, you have to, like, all things considered, right? Like, it still takes a lot of luck and things have to happen. But, you know, they will be in the conversation in a firm place, whether they are the sixth seed, whether they are in the play-in tournament, or whether they are the three seed, which seems very, very unlikely. And, you know, conversely, right, like, the other side of that coin is that, you know, if that's not the case, they don't have a chance. And it's why you don't do the Kyle Lowry trade. It's why you tool around your roster in the buyout market and add a guy like Andre Drummond who maybe helps you, maybe doesn't. And if he doesn't, you got Marc Gasol sitting there kind of just ready to be dusted off at any moment. It's why you signed Ben McLemore. It's not like you need him, but just in case, like, you know, you don't have to forfeit anything because really there's just one undeniable truth, and that's LeBron James and Anthony Davis have to be healthy. And so, I mean, like, today I think was a good news day for the Lakers. Like, they played pretty well. They lost, like, fine. But, you know, we're back to cryptic LeBron Instagram postseason, and not postseason, but, like, his Instagram posts-season, where he's talking about, like, the pending storm that's coming. You know, maybe an implication that you know, those guys could be back sooner than later.
Well, Dan,
maybe it's going to rain. It could just be have rain in the forecast.
Jason, I may have written that his phone potentially was hacked by noted Los Angeles meteorologist Dallas Raines. That might have gotten in my story at some point. I'm not sure. I was trying to figure out who, like, I didn't want to do like Al Roker because that's like kind of like whatever, a little on the nose. I wanted to be a little more regional. And it was just trying to pick between Johnny Mountain and Dallas Raines, which are just both awesome weatherman names in L.A.
Man.
And
sure.
I went Dallas Raines.
Dan,
seems more authentic.
Dan, with LeBron James and his tweets and whatnot, you're looking at the upcoming schedule for the Lakers. They got Brooklyn on tap and then the lowly New York Knicks and Charlotte. Like, the season ends in about a month. I mean, May 15th is when they wrap things up. So if you're the Lakers and LeBron James isn't back yet and you see where they're going in the Western Conference standings, when or do you hit the panic button and rush him back to save the team?
I think you don't. I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't think you do. Because I think, again, I think their formula is what I laid it out to be, right? Which is like, you know, I mean, if you have LeBron at 75%, like, that's not going to be good enough to win. It, you know, probably not anyways, whether that means you're out of the play-in tournament or not. And then, you know, dropping two extra games along the way means that he's 5% healthier. Like, they'll make that trade. I think they've made that, like, abundantly clear. Same goes for Anthony Davis, you know, for that matter. They need them both. They definitely need LeBron. And so I think, you know, rushing seems like it's not the prudent thing to do. I will say, like, I have been sort of impressed with their ability to still, like, kind of muck up these games. You know, and you look at the court, and this was a thought I had tonight, guys. I don't know if you felt this way, too. Is like, you know, you look at the team that they put out there tonight, and it is like there are no rosters like this in the NBA where you've got like a player like Markieff Morris starting and taking a bunch of shots. You know, you have Dennis Schroeder and stuff. Like, this is a team that if it played 82 games, right, like their ceiling would be in an 82-game season would be like 35 wins. And like no team aspires to be this way with veterans. Right? Like, it just doesn't happen anymore in the league. But you put a group of six or seven, you know, kind of grizzled professionals together, and like they're gonna be a pain on most nights, especially if they're defensive minded guys, and this Lakers team is. And so, like, yeah, like they were in this game against a full throttle Heat team, You know, like, who knows? They might get blown out in Brooklyn. But, you know, like, I'm sure they'll play the Knicks stuff. I'm sure they'll play the Hornets stuff. It's Boston after that. They'll probably play them tough, too. That's just because, like, they're a good defense. And on the nights when they make shots, they win. And on the nights when they miss a bunch of shots and make a bunch of other mistakes, like tonight, I mean, I think the Heat shoot 40 free throws and scored 33 points off of turnovers. Like, you're going to lose that game almost every time. But, you know, the Lakers only lost by six. And I know it's weird to say only lost by six. It's very much a type of thing you would say about, like, a 12 seed. But kind of where they're at right now, it's like maybe there's enough there that they can carry over to when sort of the hope comes back, right? Like when the projection becomes a reality that, you know, there's enough promise in these games that once you add the talent to the mix that you've got a pretty formidable contender.
Now, Dan, I got to take a little bit of umbrage with you for a second. Now,
as a writer
and an insider, you talked about the Lakers and their grizzled professionals. How come there's never any non-grizzled professionals? We talk grizzled professionals all the time. No one's ever non-grizzled.
Well, it just happens to you. I think it's like there are so many games, Jason, that like you just invariably get grizzled. Especially
okay.
if you played in Memphis. I mean, they have Marc Gasol, as grizzled of a veteran as there is in the NBA.
Neckbeard.
Okay, I never thought about that. Dan Wojcicki.
He's a leader. He's a leader too, Jason. Like, you know, he puts that out on other guys. They're grizzled by association.
Oh, wow. That's some fancy writer talk right there. Dan Wojcicki with us, LA Times NBA insider. Outside of the Lakers now, if I said to you right now, the best team in the NBA is blank, who are you telling me is the best? You could say the Knicks if you want to, but if I said who's the best team in the NBA?
No, you're right. It's New York's basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets. I just think that, you know, it's one of those things like, at the end of the day, like, you talk about the stuff with people, and the Nets may you know, screw this up. Like, it's certainly possible. Things can get weird. It's not like all three of those superstars have been the most reliable, whether it's mentally, physically, or spiritually at times, right? Like, they've all kind of had their hiccups along the way. But, you know, a lot of time, we spend all this time talking about strategy and rotations and play calls and all that stuff. Like, a lot of times it just comes out of talent, right? Like, who has the best players? And they have the best players. And they buy a pretty wide margin, too, right? Now, a bunch of stuff could trip that up along the way, I think. Obviously, you have chemistry stuff. You have an inexperienced head coach. You've got, you know, again, an organization that hasn't really won in the National Basketball Association. All that stuff together kind of works against you. But, you know, they're not going to go into a series where they have less talent than anybody they play. Like, they're always going to have the most talent, and that's why I think they're the best team. You know, I kind of really like Denver, where they're at, too. That's a team that I'm kind of watching as I think, like, if something weird's going to happen, I think it might be coming from the mountains, which feels like a fun movie plot. But, yeah, that's the only other team, but really it's the Brooklyn Nets.
Dan, do you think, I mean, who do you think gets let go first, Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge? Because that's the one team that had high expectations the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And just come up flat.
I mean, neither. Like, they both seem pretty safe to me. I do kind of understand that it's like, you know, next year can't always be your year, right? And it feels like that's been sort of the path they've been on. It's a team that's really been hurt by Kemba Walker's wonky knee. Like, that's really kind of derailed where they bet sort of like organizationally, right? Like, they put a lot into that. It's a huge contract. That was like the big move they had to make without blowing everything else up. You know, I still like their long-term potential. You know, as long as they keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together, you know, they've got two guys with immensely high ceilings. But you're right. Like, eventually that potential, you know, goes wasted. And it's just an interesting thing. I mean, look, I think they feel pretty good about where they're at as like a team building organization or where they're at in a coaching stance, but it's been a weird year. And I think making any judgments based on stuff that happens this year is just kind of faulty just because of just how strange it's been. The mental fatigue from last year, guys in and out of the lineup with injuries and with COVID and stuff like that. It's just a really hard year to make some sort of like seismic change based on the information we have.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. That is at Dan Wojcicki Sports, LA Times Insider. And Dan, I'll leave you with this since you brought up okay. Dallas Raines.
Oh, boy.
I worked with Dallas Raines about 20 years ago at KBC. Did you know he used to be a quarterback at Florida State?
I knew he went to Florida State. I did not know he played quarterback there.
I always get it wrong. His senior year was either Bowden's first year or the year before Bobby Bowden got there.
So that would have been maybe Burt Reynolds around?
That was Burt Reynolds around. Oh, yeah. Damn. Oh,
what
the stories.
What a handsome backfield.
No shortage of hair gel there either.
D, as always, man, appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
And, you know, just for the record, I do like cobalt as a color. It is a very nice color.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Have fun. There goes Dan Wojcicki. Yeah, no, I worked with Dallas Raines for a while when I used to be a TV producer at KBC, and Dallas Raines did the weather, and he would tell me stories about when he played football at Florida State.
Man,
and he was a quarterback. Yeah,
is that what was more impressive, his suits or his hair? Because hasn't changed,
dude. His hair was fantastic.
It still is. It's like Ron Duguay.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Here's a reference that four people got. No, but that's good. And I'm one of them, so that's okay. No, his suits, though, they were like shine.
Yes.
Like his suits, you're like, wow, that is a good-looking suit. Because, you know, here I am in a T-shirt and jeans and a baseball hat going, hey, Dallas, hey, you want to banter after I do a little sports, you know, talk with Bill Weir, Rob Fukuzaki? All right, great, we'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas like, yeah, sure. And Dallas is always, he had the best suits, man. He was like, wow, yeah. I mean, those suits that look like, they just look like they glisten.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a good looking suit.
It's almost like they looked like they were pressed on him, too. I mean, you're talking about form-fitting suits. Those things were attached, like adhesive to him. And
well, anytime you're thin, you could. I look at clothes people where I go, they make these sizes for people? Really? Yeah, I mean, people can fit in this? I can't fit my arm in this jacket. Are you kidding me? I can't wear. Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough, that DG, I'm telling you.
Your gun is digging into my hip.
It's tough, man.
What?
Who'd you bet on in the Masters? Who'd you bet on? Who are you upset about this time?
Tiger Woods.
That's your own fault. You bet on Tiger Woods and the Masters. That's all.
You know what? I wish you were, I mean, either Dan would have mentioned it or you, Phil Hartman. I know that obviously he was not an actor, but man, he played that role to a T back in the day. Like one of my favorite comedian actors, I think, of all time. Hartman was awesome.
He's Troy McClure.
Yeah.
You might remember me from such Bible epics as Jesus versus Mega Godzilla and suddenly Last Supper.
He had subtle comedy about him, man.
He was a funny guy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith, David Gascon. Coming up next, the most controversial thing in sports today. The wrong call was made at the end. The wrong team won the game. But I don't care. We'll tell you what that's all about coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, David Gascon in for Mike tonight. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, the biggest controversy in sports today comes to us courtesy of the Mets. And look, of course, it's the Mets. The Mets win a game in walk-off style today against the Marlins, but it's not because they won. It's basically how they won. That is one of the biggest stories of the night. The Mets were losing 2-1 into the bottom of the ninth inning, and then the scrappy Mets rally. They tie the game at 2. Michael Conforto is batting with the bases loaded and one out. Michael Conforto, who has stranded, I believe, 18 runners so far this year up until his at-bat here in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Michael Conforto walks off by walking to first base in a way that, well, none of us have seen in quite some time. Take a listen.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike three. A strike, but he didn't move, and Don Mattingly is going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire Ron Culpa.
This is a strike,
yep.
And he gets hit. Look at that. Oh, you can't do that.
They have totally got
they
a case
They got to bring
here.
It back.
Totally have
yes.
a case.
They're gonna, it's he, absolute.
It's he stuck be, his elbow right into that pitch.
It's going to be strike three.
And the
three,
umpires
two
are
outs.
Conferring, and let's see.
What are they saying?
They're saying the play stands. Game's over. The Mets win it.
Wow.
That's
Michael Conforto clearly stuck his elbow into it. And Mattingly's coming out and arguing, but I'm sure he's going to be told that that's not reviewable.
But you're trying to get it right. They don't get it right. So why even have replay?
SNY on the call. You have a very upset Ron Darling, a very upset Keith Hernandez. You know what? I don't care. Yeah. I heard Mets win. That's what I heard. Mets win. Hey, Mets win. It's so exciting. The Mets won.
I feel like Han Solo getting taken out of carbonite. Like, my eyes, they feel like they're frozen stiff because of that crap. I don't know how you can condone that in Major League Baseball, especially at the professional ranks. This isn't AAA or high A or even like winter ball. This is the big league. This is the show, Jason. And you are robbing a professional baseball team of a victory, a potential victory, because your stupid Mets decide to lean into it. That's the
definition
of leaning into it. He just put his elbow right over home plate.
Wait. I'm not saying wait a minute because you said stupid Mets. No, I'm saying wait a minute because you said victory. Here's the thing.
Potential.
Was this call bad? Yeah, it was awful.
It was awful.
I mean, it was awful. As Berman would be announced this saying, and a mea culpa from Ron Culpa, not enough for the Marlins, TJ. Oh, look, Ron Culpa admitted after the game, I blew it. Yeah, it's you work on the show. You know I do Berman. I do the DJ thing. Come on. Look, he said, I blew it, right? He said, I thought it hit him.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a strike. Mattingly is pissed going, how does it hit him if it's a strike? If it's a strike and it hits him, it's a strike. but here's the thing. As bad as it was, and it was really, really bad. It was so bad. It's not that a definitive win was taken away from the Marlins, right?
Right.
To try to paint this the right way. If the Marlins were winning 3-2 in the ninth inning, and that was the final out of the game, and it hit Conforto, and it tied the game, and the Mets went on to win, I would say, okay, you know what? Yeah, the Marlins got robbed. They won the game. But the Mets had already come back to tie it, right? So let's just say Conforto strikes out, which he probably would have done, because that's the only way he's getting on first base, right? When your number three hitter is trying to lean into a fastball down the middle, because it's the only way he's getting on base, I mean, that's a big warning sign, I think. But, you know, we'll deal with that another day. So let's say he strikes out. The Mets still have the bases loaded, and they still have somebody else coming up. So the Mets could clearly win the game there. They could also win the game in extra innings. Doesn't mean that they will, but it would have been a different game. It's not a definitive win being taken away from the Marlins. It's, boy, the Mets won when the game could have gone a different way. But clearly, the Mets still could have won that game just as easily as the Marlins have lost it.
No doubt.
Yeah, the way it went down, it was terrible.
It was disgusting.
What can I tell you?
But
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care. When I saw it, I said, oh, man, are they? Because I swear to God, because I didn't see the end of the game because I was out with my daughter today.
Yeah.
And so I'm following it on Twitter. I'm like, oh man, we're losing 2-1 in the ninth. So we're at school picking something up, and she goes in to pick something up and comes back, and I'm checking, oh, it's 2-2, we tied it, all right, we got bases loaded. I'm like, oh, Conforto's up, he stinks. And then I see, you know, 3-2, Conforto hit by pitch. I'm like, oh wow. So I go to Twitter, and I swear to God, I'm not lying to you, I see the pitch. They go, Conforto hit by pitch, Mets walk off. And you know, I'm just watching the play, and I see the pitch go in, and I go, oh, they must have put the wrong play in here because he just struck out.
Yeah.
Oh no, we got hit by that? Oh, wait, that's the play? And then he goes running down to first base. He's taking off his elbow pad. Hey, it's great. The Mets are mobbing, going, oh, wow, that was a really horse crap call.
Surprise.
Really bad call.
I mean, see, my problem is the principle of this. This is happening in game four for the New York Mets. But what happens if this was in game 152? What if we're in August or September and these two teams are in the hunt for the division? You know, what happens if this isn't the Mets and the Marlins? What happens if this is the Yankees and the Red Sox, or the Dodgers and the Giants, or the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres? Like, what happens? You have a home plate umpire that can go to any of his other wingmen up the first base and the third base line to ask, hey, what did you see? And still, you could not get that call right. I mean, they went to video review, but you can't overturn balls and strikes. You can only overturn the batter was hit or not. I mean, that's my whole problem with this, is that not did it happen early and got away with it, but what happened if this happened later on in the season with playoff implications on the line? Then all of a sudden you have a team that's SOL, another team that might have won something for all intents and purposes.
Now, I'll be straight with you. If it happened to the Yankees, we would get a rule change in Major League Baseball.
Tonight.
If it happened to the Indians, they would just say, sorry, we'll get it right next time.
Sorry,
we'll send you a letter of apology. Yeah. I mean, really, we got replay in Major League Baseball because of the Yankees-Mets Sunday Night Baseball game when Carlos Delgado hit a home run that was down the line as a home run that wasn't.
Right.
If it involves the Yankees, that fosters change in MLB faster than anything.
Sure.
If this was Yankees, oh yeah, it would say, all the umpires, you're all fired. Questech is coming in. We're going to have robots call balls and strikes. I'm sorry, but you guys are all gone. Even you, Angel Hernandez, you're gone. All right? We're going to have a robot built just like you, but you're gone. If it was the Yankees, that's how it would have happened.
Listen, this would be a lot easier to talk about once we're in July, because that's when the Mets will be out of postseason contention. And so then we wouldn't even have a conversation about this at all. This would be fine.
Maybe they stay in at postseason contention because of this game.
I really hope not.
Twitter at @AlbertaFresca, David J. Gascon. Coming up next, hey, something I told you big time in the NBA last night was actually said on national TV today by somebody else.